Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for joining us on this Monday when we're starting an entirely new series called The Fear of the Lord. I'm very eager to hear this series because the fear of the Lord is one of those topics that's a little bit confusing. On the one hand, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not to be ruled by fear. In fact, in the Bible, almost every time an angel or an emissary from God shows up, the first words they say are, "Fear not." At the same time, we're supposed to walk in the fear of the Lord, perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, and let the fear of the Lord be an inducement to great works. So I'm glad that Derek Prince is going to be straightening this out for us. Now listen, if you're going to miss any of this in the coming week, you can log on to DerekPrince.org. You'll find this teaching, other teachings, great material about Derek Prince Ministries. What I love about Derek's teaching is that it deals with the contradictions in the Bible. You know, it may offend some folks for me to use that phrase, but you know, for example, in the book of Proverbs, it says, "Answer a fool according to his folly." And the very next verse says, "Don't answer a fool according to his folly." Obviously, the Bible's making a point, but we often miss it because we're confused by the contradiction. Well, the Bible sometimes teaches through these very contradictory statements. And that's what Derek's going to straighten out for us today. He's also going to talk about what religious fear is, the false kind of fear, the kind of fear that makes us sniveling little creatures afraid that our God is going to strike us with lightning bolts. That kind of creature cannot be bold. That kind of creature cannot change the world. That kind of creature really isn't even operating in love. So we're going to cast out religious fear this week, and we're going to welcome the true, the vital, the real fear of the Lord God. So get your Bible, get something to take notes with, and let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about the fear of the Lord.
For many people, perhaps, this may not sound too interesting or exciting. The very word fear tends to produce a negative reaction. But please don't let that put you off. I'm convinced, both from the study of Scripture and from personal experience, that there is absolutely nothing in all the life of faith that carries with it greater or more wonderful promises of benefit and blessing than this very theme, the fear of the Lord. What then is the fear of the Lord? In my introductory talk today, I want to approach this question from a negative point of view. I'm going to explain, first of all, what the fear of the Lord is not. That's to say, I'm going to dispel some false pictures or impressions to make way for a positive presentation of what the fear of the Lord really is. I want to speak about four things that the fear of the Lord is not. Four kinds of fear which are not the fear of the Lord. The first one is what I call natural fear, a kind of fear which is perfectly natural to all of us as human beings, which we normally experience in certain situations which are frightening. Let me give you a couple of examples, very simple, down-to-earth examples. For instance, being on a roller coaster and being at the top of the great swoop down, and sometimes they even arrange these things to happen in the dark. I don't believe there are many of us that are not gripped by a sense of fear as that roller coaster starts to swoop down the slope and you wonder whether it'll make the bend or whether it'll stop in time. As a matter of fact, it produces so much reaction in me that I've more or less decided from now on I'm going to stay away from roller coasters. The second kind of fear that I would mention as an example of natural fear is the fear of a soldier going into battle. And that's something I've known in personal experience in World War II. Going into battle in the desert of North Africa after the initial conflict of the Battle of Alamein, wondering what was lying ahead. Would it cost me my life? How near would the shells come? And I don't believe even the bravest soldier doesn't experience some measure of fear in a situation like that. It's not abnormal. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a natural fear. And I would say natural fear is like natural pain. It's designed to warn us and protect us. It's for our good. All right, the second kind of fear, which is not the fear of the Lord, is what I call demonic fear. The scripture has quite a lot to say about this. I'll just quote one passage of scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul says we do not need to be under the oppression or the dominion of a spirit of fear, but that very clearly indicates there is such a thing as a spirit, an evil spirit, a demon of fear. And I would suggest three marks of demonic fear, which distinguish it from the fear of the Lord, which is what we're going to be talking about in the rest of these talks. Three marks, then, of demonic fear. First, it proceeds from Satan, not from God, whereas the fear of the Lord is from God. Second, demonic fear tends to hold us back from obeying God. Satan injects that kind of fear into us to keep us from doing the things that God wants us to do. In this also, it's exactly the opposite of the fear of the Lord, which motivates us and impels us to obey God and to do the things that God wants. And thirdly, demonic fear is tormenting. Elsewhere in the scripture it says fear has torment. Not all fear, but demonic fear. That's a sure mark of demonic fear. If it torments you, many examples, what they call claustrophobia, is often an example of demonic fear. My first wife had a fear for many years of getting into an elevator. She would rather walk up six flights of stairs than take the elevator. And then one day God showed us that this was demonic. We prayed against it, and she was delivered from it, and after that time she had no more problems about getting into an elevator. So that is an example of demonic fear. That's not the theme of what I'm talking to you about in this series, but I just want to clear the way by pointing out that the fear of the Lord is not like demonic fear.
I want you to take a moment to check your life for the natural fear and the demonic fear that Derek has been talking about. Natural fear is, you know, fear of falling off a cliff or the fear of a soldier going into battle. That's normal as long as it's not excessive. Demonic fear, though, as Derek has taught it, is fear that proceeds from Satan, fear that holds us back from obeying God, and tormenting fear. If there's a kind of fear in your life that robs your joy, if there's kind of a fear in your life that keeps you up at night, that keeps you from functioning normally, that's tormenting fear. And we want to break that in the name of Jesus and replace it with the fear of the Lord that inspires confidence and faith. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible proclaims, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how he works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with me here on this Monday. We're in a series called The Fear of the Lord, which is really helping clarify issues of fear as they're presented in the Bible. I'm glad that Derek is distinguishing different kinds of fear in this series, and I hope you've been with us for it. If you've missed the first portion, or if you're going to miss any of this week, log on to derekprince.org. Derek has been talking about natural fear, demonic fear. He's now going to talk about religious fear, which we need broken in our lives. So get ready to take some notes and hold up your life next to the description of religious fear that Derek is about to give us.
The third kind of fear that I want to mention, which is also not the fear of the Lord, is what I call religious fear taught by man. And in the prophet Isaiah, God speaks about the Jewish people, and he says one of their problems is they have this kind of religious fear that's taught by man, speaking, of course, about the Jewish people in the time of Isaiah. This is what it says in Isaiah 29, verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So you see, there is a kind of fear. It's what I call religious fear. But it's not a fear that comes truly from God. It's a fear that's inculcated by men. It's what I call a religious or even a superstitious fear. And I think there are countless millions of religious people in the world today who are in some way affected by that religious fear that keeps them from doing certain things, that causes them to behave in certain religious ways, and yet it's not a fear that comes from God. So here are three marks of religious fear. First, it's taught by men, not by God. Second, it's superficial. It affects outer conduct, but not the heart. And third, it does not produce the kind of obedience that God desires. It produces a slavish attitude, not the free obedience of sons and daughters, which is what God desires. The fourth kind of fear, which is also not the fear of the Lord, is the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So we see that the fear of man is not the same as trusting in the Lord. In fact, it's distinguished from it. And it brings a snare. It trips us up. It keeps us from walking in the path of righteousness. Let me give you three marks of the fear of man, which distinguish it from the fear of the Lord. First, it makes man more important than God. Secondly, it holds us back from obeying God. It snares us when we want to walk in the path of obedience and righteousness. It's a snare. And third, it's the opposite of trusting God. I'm going to explain what the fear of the Lord is. And I'm going to begin with an example from the world of the senses, but I'm going to apply it to the spiritual realm. One of the problems about speaking about things in the spiritual realm is we can't apprehend them with our senses. Consequently, we often need to start from something that we can apprehend with our senses and then see how it has a parallel in the spiritual realm. That's really the main application of the parables of Jesus. He referred to familiar things in the natural realm and then showed that they had a parallel in the spiritual realm. So I'm going to talk about something from the natural realm, but I'm going to seek to use it to illustrate the fear of the Lord. I want you to think of a towering, craggy mountain rising up steep out of the sea. And I want you to picture yourself on the very pinnacle of this mountain. And on one side, you look down on the waves far below, and you can just see the white foam. And you know that they're dashing against the base of the mountain, but you can hardly hear the noise, you're so far up. On the other side, you look away from the sea landward, and you see a beautiful array of fields and forests stretching out as far as the horizon with the sun shining on them. And you could use a number of different adjectives to describe your situation. For instance, you could speak about it being beautiful or being exhilarating. Or being inspiring, or being unique. It has no exact parallel anywhere else. It's just one unique place in the earth. And you enjoy all this. You're uplifted by it. You're exhilarated by it. But at the same time, somewhere deep inside you, you have this continual realization. One step in the wrong direction, and you'll be dashed to pieces on the crags and plunged into the sea. Now, you've no intention of taking that step, yet the very thought of it produces in you a kind of gasp and an involuntary tightening of your diaphragm. Well, that's somehow, for me, that gives a picture of what the fear of the Lord is like. It's mixed with tremendous enjoyment of His favor, of His glory, of His power, all of which are available to you in a positive way. But you're always aware of the fact that you must not take the wrong step in the wrong direction because it would be final disaster. related words that we might use in English, but they're not powerful enough, would be awe or reverence. Perhaps awe is as near as we can get, but it's not really a full expression of what the fear of the Lord is. Now I want to present to you the fear of the Lord from another point of view. I want to suggest to you that the fear of the Lord is really obedience to the first of the Ten Commandments. I'm sure you know what the first commandment is, but let me remind you. It's stated very briefly in Exodus 20, verse 3, the Lord is speaking, and he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And it could equally well be translated, "You shall have no other gods beside me." Now, adhering to that commandment will bring forth the fear of the Lord in our lives. It means that we give to God total preeminence, that we never put anything else in our lives before him. We never put anything else beside him. We never put anything else, no influence, no person, no motivation, on a level with the Lord, with God. You see, that's very logical. If God is really willing to reveal himself to us and to in some way share himself with us and come into our lives, and if he offers us his fellowship, creatures of dust that we are, Almighty God offers that privilege to you and me, how dare we offer him any place in our lives but first place? It's an insult. It's almost unthinkable that we should even be motivated that way. It's almost like standing there at the top of the cliff and deliberately taking a step in the wrong direction the moment we put anything in our lives before or equal with Almighty God.
Let's make sure that we understand these three indicators of religious fear: that it's taught by men and not by God, that it's superficial, it affects outer conduct but not the heart, and that it does not produce the kind of obedience that God desires. You know, sometimes we have a false religious fear in our churches and our theology and our systems. Sometimes we have religious people around us who are dealing with us in terms of this false fear. But I want to tell you that this false fear will rob you of the blessings of God. It will make you cowardly. It will make you easily controlled. And it will eventually make you resent God as a harsh taskmaster. Break that harsh religious fear out of your life. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible proclaims, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." In his classic book, The Holy Spirit in You, Derek Prince reveals how this third member of the Trinity desires to be your supernatural helper. Through its pages, Derek clearly explains the ways of the Holy Spirit and how he works in the lives of believers. You'll discover that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience the presence of Jesus, pray according to God's will, receive greater understanding of the Scriptures, and receive healing in your life. To order your own copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you comfort and power. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of The Holy Spirit in You securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're just about to finish our first day in a series called The Fear of the Lord by Derek Prince. Now, in the segment that's coming up, you're going to hear a definition that absolutely can change your life. Derek is about to define what your God is. He's going to give you a key to knowing what your true God is, because, you know, you can make a thing your God. You can make a person your God. You can make any kind of idol your God, and that idolatry is going to be fed by a false kind of fear. This week, it was about getting rid of the bad, false fear in our lives and drinking in the glorious fear of God. Let's listen as Derek teaches us on the fear of the Lord.
I want to illustrate this from a phrase that's used by Jacob in the book of Genesis. Jacob had just parted with his father-in-law Laban. He'd taken his wives and his flocks and his herds, and he was on his way back to the land that God had promised him. And Laban pursued him in anger, meaning to do him harm. But that night, in a dream, the Lord appeared to Laban and said, "Don't you do anything to my servant Jacob." And then next day they had a confrontation. And this is what Jacob said to Laban, and I want you to listen carefully. "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed." Jacob was, of course, the descendant of Abraham and Isaac. They were his ancestors. And he speaks about his God this way: "The God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac." What a strange phrase, and yet how meaningful. What was the fear of Isaac? The fear of Isaac was Isaac's God, Jacob's God too, Abraham's God. But that phrase, "the fear of Isaac," somehow encapsulates this attitude toward God. I want to suggest to you a thought as I come to the close of this message. What you fear most is your God. You can make a thing your God by fearing it. I think some people fear cancer and make cancer their God. Some people fear man and make a God out of man, as we've seen in a previous talk. But if we truly fear the Lord, that acknowledges him as being indeed our God.
I want to take Derek's words and Derek's definitions and maybe express them in a slightly different way, apply them to your life, and then we'll have a moment of prayer. There was a famous theologian who once said, you know, when we talk about religion, we tend to talk about creeds and churches and hymnals and clergy, but there's a more informal way of understanding what really is the ruling religion of people's lives. And he said, if you'll define religion as ultimate concern, then you'll really understand what is a man's religion. Whatever's of ultimate concern to a man, whatever's seen as the chief priority in his calendar, in his wallet, in the way he uses his money, whatever dominates his thoughts, whatever dominates his conversation, whatever is of ultimate concern to him, regardless of whatever his formal religious affiliation is, that is his religion. If his ultimate concern, the thing that dominates his calendar and his checkbook and his conversation and his energies and his imaginations, is golf or sex or fame or the looks of his own body, then those things are his God, are his religion. And that is exactly what Derek is teaching us, is that whatever it is you cannot live without, whatever you fear the most, whatever you are most attached to emotionally, that is your God. And I just want to take us to a moment of prayer here, just very briefly. And I want you to look at your life, and I want you to say, I want you to confess before the Lord anything that might be a false God in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we desire to only fear you. And so we pray in the name of Jesus that any ultimate concern, any false God in our life, any force or thing that holds our affections or holds our fear in a false and religious way, in a demonic way, we ask that it be cast down now in the name of Jesus. That spirit of fear to be driven out and for us to be restored to the right fear of God, inspired by the Word and the Spirit of God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we're going to continue in this vein all week, so you don't want to miss it. But that is all the time we have for today. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Tuesday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, The Holy Spirit in You, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.